Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. And we've got a couple special things planned for tonight. And so I hope you'll be able to stay tuned. Usually this time of year, everybody, of course, is getting into the holiday spirit, celebrating the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I like to read usually on the Sunday prior to Christmas, the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. And so I'll be reading that at the start of the second half of the program tonight. So we'll have a break at about 11:30. And then after that, we'll do the reading there. It takes a few minutes to read it. And it's the Old Testament, New Testament, Bible prophecies, and Bible prophecies fulfilled. And it's from the Gospels, it's from the letters that Paul wrote, other places in the Scriptures, and it gives you a concise reading of this, of what the Bible has to say about the birth of Christ. So we'll be doing that, Lord willing, in the second half of the program tonight. But in the meanwhile, we're going to also be taking your calls tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll get into our program here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again so much for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program, help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, for those that are searching, we just pray that we could point people to Christ, that they might be able to find Christ, put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they might experience the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation, the gift that Jesus Christ came into the world on that Christmas night so many years ago. And we just pray that you would now bless and use us for your glory tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you here this evening. And let's see. We want to try to get things going here. I want to remind you, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us there at 5171 Brecksville Road. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. So if you drive up looking to find a church building that says Richfield Bible Baptist Church on it, you won't find that. What instead you'll find is the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and that's where you want to go in. We use the meeting room there. And remember, the church is not the building, it's not the walls, it's not the structure, it's the gathering of God's people that meets within. And it's not the service either, it's the gathering together of God's people. That's what the church is. And so we gather together there every Friday night at 7 o'clock for our Friday night Bible study. And we sure encourage you to come visit us there. And we do much like we do on the radio program here, give you time to share your questions. And we look into the Bible, see what the Bible has to say, questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word like we do on the radio. And also we have some refreshments that we can enjoy. But I do want to make mention this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we are having our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service. And our Christmas Eve candlelight service, we will be singing some songs celebrating the birth of Christ. And then I will be reading the birth of Christ that I'm going to read on the program later on tonight here. And then a time where we can share some things that God has done for us, done in our lives and over the past year, some maybe some special blessing of the past year, whatever people would like to share as we celebrate what Christ has done, the birth of Christ, and the tremendous gift that he's given to us. So that's what we've got coming up this Thursday at 7 p.m. That's December 24th, Christmas Eve. And then, of course, the following day, Friday, is Christmas Day. We are still having our Christmas, our Friday night Bible study. I know it's Christmas Day. We had some people asking about it, and we will be there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in the meeting room for our regular Friday Christmas, Friday night Bible study on the night of Christmas Day, December 25th. And then next week, looking a little further ahead, we are not doing anything special for New Year's Day. However, we will be there not doing anything special for New Year's Eve, but on New Year's Day, the night of New Year's Day. That doesn't sound confusing enough right now. The night of New Year's Day. I guess that sounds better than New Year's Day Eve, but that would be even more confusing. But the night of New Year's Day, January 1st, being Friday, we will have our regular Friday night Bible study there. So we do have that planned. So I hope you'll be able to come out and join us perhaps sometime. And then we have our regular services on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, our morning service. I'm currently preaching through, well, I just finished the book of 1 Timothy, and I believe, Lord willing, I'll be starting 2 Timothy next week. And then on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we also meet same place, same location at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and I'm preaching currently through the book of Proverbs right now, and we're currently in Proverbs chapter 14. So that's what we've got coming up here, rounding out the end of the year. Also want to mention, too, before I move into our callers here tonight, on our Friday afternoon program this week and next week, the last two Fridays of the year, I am going to be combining with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He is usually on every Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock until 1:30, and then our program is on from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. This coming Friday, which again is Christmas Day, and then the following Friday, which is New Year's Day, we are combining our programs. I will be on with Pastor Lutz in the 1 o'clock to 1:30 time slot, and then Pastor Lutz will be on with me in the 1:30 to 2 o'clock time slot. And so we're going to combine our programs for the last two Fridays of the year. So I hope you'll join us for that. If you've been listening at 1:30, be sure and tune in at 1 o'clock this coming Friday, Christmas Day, as well as on New Year's Day. All right, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you will go there, you can also link to our social media. You can find us on there. I encourage you to check that out, parlorusa.life, MeWe, different ones that we're on. A lot of our stuff, Facebook is really cranked up the banning of certain things, and if you post something that's correct when you post it, and then later on the data changes, I've had this happen to me several times now, the data is later found to be different, they'll go back and find something you posted a week or two earlier, and they will put the big face mask, you know, the face slap on there that you're posting misleading information. Well, it was not misleading when it was posted, but things change, and sometimes more information is found out. It doesn't mean that the first one was posted in a misleading fashion, it's kind of hard to go back and keep track of everything that you posted to make sure that nobody has changed it since then. We try to do the best we can posting things on there. So that's why I encourage people to check out some of our other social media, because on Parler and USA.life and some of those, you don't have to worry about the faceless face maskers striking. And a lot of information is coming out on just how inaccurate they are with some of their supposed fact-checking. Well, anyway, not going to spend any time on that right now. I want to get to our callers here this evening. Our telephone number, of course, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I believe Nancy was our first caller calling in this evening. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. And I would love to come to one of those services Thursday or Friday evening if somebody can give me a ride. People are so busy this time of the year.
Well, and we recognize that, so we don't try to put pressure on people. But we're available if somebody wants to come.
Well, thank you so much. Now, I wanted to discuss a phrase that Pastor Ernie Sanders and Thomas Jefferson quoted a lot: resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
You know, let me interject there just a second. I was just thinking of that quote when you said, I thought, I bet it's going to be that, because I was just looking at that yesterday. And did you know that quote actually, he didn't even originate that. That goes back centuries earlier. And I don't remember all the details
but I know he didn't originate it.
Yeah,
I knew he liked it.
But it's an excellent quote.
The origin of it, I never could find the origin.
Yeah, it's an excellent quote.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would consider the tyrants in our current election fiasco to be mainstream media, big tech, the Democrats, the rhinos, the Dominion voting machine, and all of the huge, you know, gigantic election fraud. But then I'm thinking of Acts 5:29, obeying God rather than man, because, you know, the Democrats and the tyrants, you know, the ones that want the Democrats in, they do not follow God at all, you know, as you know
mm-hmm.
with pro-life and supporting Israel and just supporting Christians in general. And then another example I was thinking of, well, a friend of mine helped me with this. Exodus 1:17, but the midwives feared God
mm-hmm.
and did not, as the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, commanded them, but saved the men child along. And of course, that's applying Exodus 20, you know, 10 commandments, do not kill. And then there's several other examples too. But I really like that quote. And I know Pastor Ernie Sanders says it about six times every show. But anyhow, thank you. If you could expound on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, and it's exactly right. I mean, that's part of the reason in the Declaration of Independence and in our writing in the preamble and all of our Constitution, they recognize some of those things. And it also incorporates sound biblical truth, because we're familiar with the, you know, passages in the scriptures about praying for those that are in authority and also obeying those that are in authority. But we do that so long as there's no conflict with what God says. And that's the key. I often pointed out how people who have been in the military, if you've been in the military and you're familiar with the Uniform Code of Military Justice, we are, when you're in the military, compelled by the oath that you take to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And we are also required to be obedient to, and here's the key word, lawful. That's the key word, lawful
mm-hmm.
orders.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we're also required to not obey unlawful orders. And the reason mm-hmm. for that is, people remember during World War II, the guards of the concentration camps, people who marched the Jews into the gas chambers mm-hmm. in the Nuremberg trials and different things. Remember they said, well, we were just following orders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, no, that is not acceptable. And in the military today, that is not acceptable. If I was still serving active duty and I was ordered to do something that was wrong, something that was unlawful, mm-hmm. something that was contrary to the Constitution, I would be duty bound mm-hmm. to disobey that order. And it's the same mm-hmm. thing laid out in the scriptures when it talks about obeying orders and obeying governments and obeying authorities, But also we have the example in Acts chapter 5, you know, when Peter made a defense against the council and they had been ordered to stop preaching in Jesus' name. And in Acts chapter 5, it says, starting in verse 28, the Jews, as they're threatening them, it says, "Did we not straitly command you?" Okay, so there's a command. The authorities, mm-hmm. they had lawful authority. They had legal authority over them. That's true. Mm-hmm. But their legal authority was only to issue lawful commands. And so they said, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And then Paul responds here in verse 29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" And you know what he went and did after that? He begins preaching the gospel to them that they told him not to preach. And he stood up and he preached exactly what they told him not to preach. And so this business that you can't disobey authority, you can't disobey unlawful orders, it's nonsense. It's not scriptural. And that's the heart of that quote, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Because in this case here, Peter and the other apostles, they resisted the tyrants of their day in order to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men.
Yeah. And isn't Romans 13, they say to obey the government, I don't know the exact quote, but then when the government is, you know, telling, you know, oh, it's okay to abort babies, then of course you don't, you know.
Well, and that's obvious because, you know, in Romans 13, where it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," and then it says, "For there is no power but of God, and the powers that are ordained are ordained of God." God ordained human government, and he allows people to have power, you know, power to rule, power to over life even, you know. He gave, for instance, capital punishment. It's permissible under God's law to take the life of somebody that has killed somebody. We have that. And we also have other things under God's laws, and he gives that to the government. In fact, we know that the power to take a life is recognized even right here, because in Romans 13, verse 4, talking about the government authority, he said, "For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil." Well, the sword wasn't there just to intimidate people. The sword was there as it was an instrument of deadly force. And that's why police and soldiers can carry weapons of deadly force today and even take the lives of people under certain situations, because they bear not the sword in vain. But here's the key, too. They're supposed to be doing good. They're supposed to be protecting the innocent and going after those that do evil. But what do governments often do? They do the opposite, don't they?
Since you're mentioning a sword, that reminds me of Luke 22:36. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. So, you know, you're commanded to protect yourself. Say if the government's going, you know, berserk and...
Well, that's the purpose of the Second Amendment. It really is. The Second Amendment wasn't just to protect your right to hunt. Yeah, it wasn't just there for hunting.
Protect yourself from ungodly government.
And we had talked about the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of the Constitution, and in the Declaration of Independence, it talks about the very first line. It says, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them to another." How did they dissolve those bands? They declared themselves an independent nation. And then, of course, Great mm-hmm. Britain didn't agree with that. And the bands were dissolved at the point of the sword, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Military action.
I was thinking, if God forbid Biden gets in, do you think that, because, you know, everything's going to, and if we lose Texas, you know, the senatorial race, and things really go socialism, is it possible that a group could have a new Declaration of Independence from the evil Democratic Party? I mean, that's sort of far out, but...
Well, I know people have talked about that. It would be kind of hard to do that. I think that in the case of the founders of our country, they had exhausted every means that they could come up with for seeking redress from King George, and he wouldn't have any of it. Part of it was he needed money that he was milking the colonies for in order to fund some of his other expansionist activities elsewhere, India and other places. But, they had tried every avenue that they could. They tried working through the parliament. They tried appealing directly to King George. They tried all sorts of things. And it was finally when nothing else worked that they made the drastic step of declaring independence. Because remember, the Canadian colonies, they did not do this. You know, they did not do this. And they have some of the similar origins to what our colonies did, but they chose not to. And so it worked out differently for them. But and so when we look at something like that, we should exhaust all other avenues, I would think, before going to that point. That's essentially what the South endeavored to do during the Civil War. They endeavored to do the same thing, to essentially redeclare themselves independent. Now, there were other things going on at the time, of course, and without getting into all the ifs and the for instances and the why fors and all that for the wherefores of why the South succeeded, but that was an attempt right there, and we all know how that worked out. Yeah, that was the bloodiest war that our nation ever fought, so I would hate to see that. There's plenty of other things that can yet be done, and of course, when we look at what's happening in the world around us, the argument could easily be made. I don't know that we're going to be here that long. So,
well, that's true. Absolutely.
But we also know that there's a greater threat, and that's the globalist threat, the Great Reset, which is being talked about more and more openly all the time. This is the reason why China, this is the reason why powers in Europe and all are arrayed against us and against President Trump, because America is the obstacle to the global world government, and they've always viewed us as the obstacle. And President Trump is the obstacle personified. Now, we know the real obstacle is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it's verse 7, where it points out how the Holy Spirit is hindering the mystery of iniquity that's already working. And that's what's holding it back. And when it's time for the Lord to call us out of here, the obstacle to the world government will be taken away, and they will be able to enact their plans. But until that point, they just simply can't do it. It might look like it. It might feel like it. We might get close to it. They might do a few dress rehearsals, but they're not going to fully realize it because it's actively being hindered.
Now, you say the big global reset. Now, that basically is what the Democratic Party represents. I mean, they represent.
Oh, they're totally signed in on it. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, the reason that they hated Donald Trump so much, it's not that he's Donald Trump, it's that he wasn't Hillary Clinton. Barack Obama had softened us up, basically. Hillary Clinton was going to deliver the final blows that would bring America into the global society.
Right.
And guess what? God stuck his finger in there and deprived her, and, you know, like a bear robbed of her whelps, you know, angry.
Mm-hmm.
And angry. Yeah. And that's why the tremendous anger against President Trump and those that support mm-hmm. him. It's not that it's mm-hmm. Donald Trump. It's that it's not
yes.
Hillary Clinton. And if exactly. President mm-hmm. Trump is able, and there's, I'm cautiously optimistic, January 6th is going to be a very interesting day. President Trump's calling for a big rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And in his tweet, he said it'll be wild. I don't know what that means, but they had a big meeting at the White House with General Flynn, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, and a bunch of other cabinet members, officials, and things like that, presumably discussing what they're going to be doing. And we need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for January 6th when they open up the electoral ballots. There are several states that sent two slates of electoral ballots. Arizona, for instance, the Republican legislature sent a slate of electors. And then, of course, the governor's office sent a slate of electors, a Democrat slate. And which slate is going to be counted?
Very exciting and certainly cause for a big prayer. Yes.
Well, we need to pray. And if Donald Trump gets four more years, you know, if you thought the left got angry when Hillary Clinton was in their mind robbed of the presidency, wait till you see what'll happen then. So
yes, we certainly are praying for that. I know it's going to be wild and destructive, but it's something we'll have to go through. Thank you very much, Pastor. Well, you covered it so well.
Well, thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that. And I hope you'll join us again and maybe see you on Christmas Eve. But if I don't, Merry Christmas to you.
I hope so.
God bless.
I hope so if I get a ride.
Thank you. God bless. Well, keep listening. We've got another half hour to go. Our Christmas reading coming up. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we are going to do our Christmas reading at this time so that I can get through it. It takes a few minutes to go through it. I know we have somebody on hold and we'll get to them. And if you want to call in, we'll try to get to you at the end of the program. But I like to do this every year on the Sunday night before Christmas because I just think it's important. We get caught up with all of the hustle and bustle of the holidays. And I know for this year, for some people, it's a little more difficult that people, worried about government edicts regarding coronavirus. Some places you can, some places you can't. Some places you got to do this, and some places you can't do that, and all that. But even in the best of years, we get caught up with parties and gift giving and all these things. It takes the focus off from Christ. And I want to read this. It's the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. You can find this on our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you'll go down on the right-hand side of the page, there's a couple of little books and booklets that I put together over the years. And you can find it there. It's a free download. You'll see it there. There's a couple sites you can download it from. And let me encourage you, if you want a copy of this, that's the easiest way to get it. You can get it immediately on your computer. And so I got on my computer, I just print it out as needed as well. And I'm going to take some time to read that here this evening. It's nothing more than Scripture. We started this some years ago. My wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, and we started a church in American Samoa on the island of Tutuila. And while we were there, we wanted something that we could use around Christmas time. And I had found a little booklet where somebody back, I think it was back in the 40s or 50s, had put together some scriptures. And I expanded on that, took out some extraneous words, and came up with this. It's the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures, and this is nothing more than Bible verses, nothing else added, and just arranged in a readable narrative. So let me go ahead and begin that right now. The birth of Christ according to the Scriptures. The Bible says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused with to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it came to pass, in those days, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. I hope you enjoyed that. That's the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. And like I said, if you would like to get a copy of that, go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, livewithpastoral.com. On the right-hand side, scroll down. You'll see some books and booklets there. You can download it for free. Just click on the one for the birth of Christ. You'll see it there on the right-hand side. And it's a free download. If you'd like to use that for your own family's devotions, encourage you to do so. Perhaps you'd like to read it at your own church services. I encourage you. We've had many people that have done that in the past. Well, hope that was a blessing to you. We'd like to share that every year at Christmas time to remind us of what we really celebrate at this time of the year. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry who's been waiting patiently, and let's squeeze Terry in here before we run out of time tonight. Terry, thank you for being patient. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Really good. I really enjoy all that.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's just there's so much, and usually when somebody reads the account of the birth of Christ, they read Matthew or they read Luke and maybe a few pieces of something else, and that's about it.
Yeah, you got it all put together pretty good, really good.
Well, we worked on it over a period of years, so and I had a good foundation to start. So
I'd like to be able to read that in front of a lot of people myself. I practice a lot when I'm by my, because I live alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I spend a lot of time reading out loud and try to get better and better.
Yeah,
I
hope you'll be able to get a copy of it. Can you go online and get it?
Yep, yes I can.
All right, great. I hope you get a copy of it. So.
So. One thing I was going to mention is that in Luke 1,
mm-hmm.
46 to 55, is that considered Mary's prayer?
Luke chapter 1, and let me drop back there, where Mary speaks after Elizabeth has spoken, right?
Yes.
I don't know if we would consider it a prayer, necessarily. It's certainly something that she speaks out. She's filled with the Spirit, obviously, and she's certainly rejoicing in the Lord. And she says as much there. I believe it's just she's speaking out as God has filled her and is inspiring her in the things to say. And one of the things I do like to point out when you look at this, it says, when she says, it starts in verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Verse 47 says, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior."
Savior.
And right there it puts to rest the people that think that Mary never sinned. If she never sinned, why'd she need a Savior?
That's right.
And she identified Christ as her Savior.
That's right. Amen.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear, you know, we go with the Word of God over the Word of man. And, in this case, God spoke through Mary and told us that Mary was a sinner just like everybody else in need of a Savior.
Well, I went to a Bible study, and it was mostly university students that was at that
mm-hmm.
Bible study, but I was invited to go. But anyway, the guy that was teaching on this, and he called it the Song of Mary.
Yeah, and I've heard it said like the song, you know, a speech, an oratory.
Yeah, and his name was R.C. Sproul.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with him. I don't necessarily follow him. He's got a few weird ideas. He's a staunch Calvinist for one thing, but
yeah, that's why I figured. Yeah, they teach on R.C. Sproul, John Piper.
Mm-hmm. Another staunch Calvinist, yeah.
And you definitely heard C.C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a well-known teacher of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, almost every book that I read, his name gets brought up.
C.C.S. Yeah, he gets quoted quite a bit.
Yeah, so he's got a lot to say. The one book that he has is... It's the complete C.S. Lewis signature classic,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a lot of stuff in there about his writings.
I got about a minute left, but I was going to say people have tried to get me really interested in C.S. Lewis's writings in the past. I just never could. Part of the reason was when I was in high school, I read his fictional series Perlanda, and it was so onerous to wade through. I'm the kind of person that I very rarely will not finish a book if I start it, and I managed to wade through it. It just was so much that I've never been able to enjoy reading anything by C.S. Lewis since then.
Well, the Screwtape Letters, you probably...
Well, I did read that, though.
Yeah. That's a very important or a very interesting study, but I haven't really studied too much on that.
Yeah. And
well, anyway, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you as
well.
That's
out there.
Yeah, and thanks for listening. I hope you'll be able to get a hold of that booklet. We're out of time here tonight, and I hope people will join us on Christmas Day at 1 o'clock and 1:30. Thanks for listening. God bless, and Merry Christmas to each of you.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.